Hey guys, welcome back to the EJ. Chelsea here, in case you didn't know. And good news for you guys, I will be on tonight's episode, so you can enjoy that since you missed me last week. But today we're going to talk about something that makes a lot of people very uncomfortable, and that's about firing employees. So how to do it, when to do it, and why you should do it. So we're going to jump right into that, and hopefully you get some goods out of this. And unfortunately for your employees, you might get the courage and reason to make a move and find a better fit.
Everybody, welcome to the EJ.
Hey.
Chelsea just wrapped up her hair appointment from last week. So
good to have you back.
Chelsea,
nice. Well, we got to hurry because Brandon has a spa appointment after this, he said.
Mani-pedi.
And yeah, we do have a tea time for real.
True.
Later on, but anyway, we're all back together, all three of us here, the EJ in its full glory. And so how you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah pretty good. Yeah. I've accomplished a lot today. Woke up early, did a workout. My dog puked on the floor. That's what woke me up early.
That doesn't count as an accomplishment.
Well, and then I've had about 6 calls already, so I'm doing
that
great.
That counts.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The dog puke, cleaning up the dog puke, accomplishment.
Literally, I saw a meme like a week ago that was like, nothing gets you out of bed faster than the sound of your dog about to throw up. And yeah, it was true. It happened this morning and then I was like wide awake. So normally I work out in the afternoon or in the evenings, but today it happened this morning. So
I have Melvin the Bulldog and he makes that sound about 10 times a day though. So it's not out of bed anymore for that.
It's just Mel.
Let him work something out of his throat. But
yeah,
today's is not a dog show.
Nope.
Not about cleaning up vomit.
But it is about cleaning up a
little bit. Yeah, cleaning up. Today's about, let's two parts. Knowing when you need to get someone out of your office, right? We're not even going to focus on the good today. This isn't even about like the dream team and building them. Like you better be doing that. Today's about when you know there's a virus in your office that's sucking the life out of it and then how to get rid of them, right? Let's just do that. Let's focus on getting rid of somebody.
Bring in a little audio there. I like
it. So, okay. So, you know, let's the first few minutes here, how do you know when someone's got to go? How do you know when someone's got to go?
That's a weird question.
I've been working on that for a long time. Okay. Rhymes.
I think there's a lot of signs that some are like blatantly hit you in the face. Other ones are ones you're just like, maybe that was just a one-time occurrence or something that happened just off the cusp. But I think you're going to get a lot of signs right off the bat. So,
like what?
For me, a big thing is time. Like if I say, hey, we have a 9 o'clock meeting, time is super important to me. So punctuality, I guess, would be a big thing. And I watch this in everyone. I noticed it today with an employee in our office today. It was late. She had an appointment at 10 o'clock and she's rolling in my door at 9:52. And I'm like, what are we doing there? That's a massive problem to me that she's thinking like, oh, sorry, I was just a little bit late. But there's little signs.
It was at 10 o'clock and she showed up at 9:52.
Yeah.
The patient was there before this particular employee were going to work with. So 8 minutes ahead of time. No, not on time for me. Okay. She has a 9 o'clock appointment or 10 o'clock appointment. She better be there 9:45 at the latest.
I get you.
To prep. So I don't know. I guess little things like that where you're starting to see their level of commitment or level of seriousness to your business can start with little things like that of punctuality, not following rules, dress codes. I don't know. I'm going 100 different directions.
Yeah, I think when they start to have the don't give a fuck attitude about everything in general, like they just kind of are doing the bare minimum to not get completely fired right on the spot. But so it looks like they're still working. But I've noticed this with coworkers and in other jobs where it's kind of just like they just don't care. The attention to detail is gone. The focus is gone. They're on their phone constantly or whatever it is.
Right, they're just there to punch a clock. They're not buying any vision. They don't give two shits about
until they find something else or get fired so they can collect unemployment.
For a buck more an hour, they go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is trust your gut a little bit. Like, you know, if you dread going into the office because you have to go see blank, right, and they're always negative or just like you don't jive, or you just know in your heart of hearts this person is sucking the life out of your business. And you have to trust your gut a little bit. And it's easy when like it's so obvious, but sometimes, and we've all had this as well, it's someone that everyone else kind of sees as really good. Like they're a really good facade of a good person, but you know from knowing them at a different level, they're not. And you have to make a tough call at that point, because you know when that person's dragging you down, slowing you down, you know. And of course, there's other really obvious signs of your customers are complaining. You keep getting complaints about this person's attitude or their treatment of people. They always make excuses for all the things you said, why they're late, why they don't care, why they can't work, why they can't go to the seminar, all these different things that they're coming up with. But all those, and we could list 100 of them, it really boils down to, like, in your heart of heart, you just know this person isn't the person to lead whatever it is, your front desk.
Yeah, and sometimes it's even the opposite of what you just said. For, to you, to your face, maybe the employer, the boss, they might be all this, but then the other employees are like, holy crap, we got to get rid of this person. And it sounds, and then they don't really want to come to you because they sound like they're being tattletales or just don't like the person. But I've seen it in that direction also.
Yep.
So here's the problem I had with that, and I think some of our doctors currently have with this, is they recognize those signs. They're maybe listening to their gut, their innate, and said, gosh, yeah, this person's wrong. But then all of a sudden, I don't know if it's ego or pride comes back into play and says, well, I hired that person. I did the interview. I'm selected them. I thought they were great. I can't fire them. I'm going to try to fix it. And, or they just hold off. Like, they don't want to have that awkward conversation. So then they don't do it. And then obviously we know it just keeps getting worse and worse from there. So,
which would be a leadership, right? So, I mean, like, if you're not a leader enough to handle your staff and make the best decision, and I've long always said, you make every decision like this, like your business is a person. Like, just pretend like your business is saying, is this person good for me or not? Does this person bring money in my door or not? Take all the personality things out of it, and where you knew them from, and if you went to high school, and, you know, if they're a love interest of yours or whatever is there, right? And you have to just say, is this person the best person for this job right now? And if you say no, then you got to make a move. Now, to your point, do you give them a second chance? Of course.
Well, yeah.
You don't fire someone on the first bad, you know, they're late, you fire them. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying, we know after they've been late 10 times and you've asked them and told them and written them up and all kinds of stuff, that, yeah, it's time to make a move. Majority of people don't make that move because of comfort. They're lazy. They don't want to find somebody else, hire somebody else, train somebody else. How will I run the shift without that person? Because they at least answer a phone, type in shit, make, you know, take payments, and they start to keep this person there because they keep them at a mediocre level. And that's why their business is mediocre, because they have a team that doesn't give a shit about their vision, that they're too afraid to be a leader and step up and let go of. And therefore, they are given a business that's really not that great because their team is not that great.
That you saying comfort, I think, is exactly nail on the head type thing there, where they're like, shit, what do I do if I don't have a person to answer my phones or someone to greet the patients as they come in?
Right.
Like, well, right now you're settling for someone that sucks ass. But like you said, it's just a warm body there. They're so worried about having to train up a new person, or maybe not even having a person for a week. And they're just freaked out about, what do I do if I don't have that person up front, that they settle or they go back to the mediocrity that is there in that bad employee. So that's a good point. Comfort. I think some of them don't do it. Bosses don't do that because they're comfortable.
Well, if that's your biggest fear, which is fine. That's about, I mean, yeah, you do need someone to answer the phone, you know, or see customers or whatever they're doing. Hire somebody else and keep that person during that time. Like, you, making a move doesn't necessarily mean you go in and say you're gone and then you have nobody. So make a strategic plan. You've spoken to this person. They're not your person. You know it, right? You've come to grips with that. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go on Monday and just say you're gone, or text them, or do something that's, you know, even worse. So hire somebody in the next couple of weeks. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes they see what's going on and they'll step up their game, and you may be like, shit, I didn't see that coming, but great. Mm-hmm. More times than not, they don't. They're pissy, they're moaning, they don't like the new person, all kinds of stuff, all of which is great because they're on their way out anyway. But you're setting yourself up to have that person ready. Then a week or two later, and you've bitten the bullet that time, then you have a conversation and say, hey, you know what? We feel pretty good with the new person and we think we're going to let you go. So, you know, making a move doesn't mean you're fired. Doesn't mean shooting a text off on a Sunday because you're pissed. It means making the decision and then making good moves, good steps, little owner strategy, manager strategy, to make sure you do the best thing for the business, not the best thing just to get it off your chest.
I like that, but I would say there's been moments I've had employees where I didn't want my new hire around the person I was getting rid of because of the bad habits that were in place, the negative attitude, the whatever they're going to say. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if you could transition and hopefully that's an option. But other times I'm like, holy crap, I don't even want the new person to talk to that.
Well, and I think in that case, a lot of times, like, you probably had multiple people at the front office, so you just wanted to get rid of the virus before you brought in the new person.
Yes.
So if you have someone else, like you said, having nobody is going to be better than having someone that's so negative and
right,
just not doing any good for the business anyways. So
I mean, there's so many variables here. So in my scenario, the person sucks, but they're not like, they haven't stolen from you. They're not like up for harassment charge. I mean, so there's certain things you just go in and say, get out. Yeah. Right. If someone steals from you, it's non-negotiable. You're done. Get the hell out of my business. But if someone's like kind of mediocre, they're going through shit, they're looking for other jobs, like, but they answer a phone. They're okay with customers.
Right.
But to Chelsea's point, if you have two other people up front, then get rid of them. Because then they'll just, you know, they'll work a little harder and you'll be fine. If you have one person, then be careful, you know, because you want to make sure that you don't want this to affect the customer. That's the bottom line. So whatever you can do that makes the best decision for the customer experience, that's the decision that you as an owner have to make. And yeah, you can see all of us are going different directions for 90 different scenarios, all of which we've been in, by the way.
Yep.
I've had people steal and I fired them on the spot, and I've had people I phased out. Some people I pay to stay and let them know, like, hey, it's not a good fit for you. We think you'd be great for the next couple of months to help us train. We'll be happy to pay you. And they're great. Oftentimes, and we'll get to that in a second, your ideal goal when you let someone go, and this is like something you need to master, is you want that person to quit. And not by treating them like shit, not by going in and making life so tough. It's by going in and having a conversation and being really honest and upfront. And you say, hey, Chelsea, you know what? I don't think this is the best thing for you. Like, I haven't seen your smile.
This is live. This is live right now. This is like,
I haven't
really
seen that personality that we saw. It just seems like you're miserable. And it kills me to watch you just be kind of suppressed. I mean, do you feel the same way? Do you feel like you're not happy? And most of the time that person will say, yeah, you know what? It sucks. I don't like it as much as I thought. I thought I would like it. I don't. Awesome. Like, we don't want you to be somewhere that you don't want to be. It's not worth it. Right. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? And they're like, yeah, I should probably go somewhere else. Yeah, we completely understand. Give us a couple weeks and let us, you know, find somebody and we'll get you back to where you want to be. That's how this needs to go to avoid unemployment and to leave on good terms. And there's a lot of good reasons for your sanity that that's the way to handle that. Great owners, great directors will have a conversation just like that.
It's a little reverse psychology, but I love it. Of just like, you're being very honest and upfront of what you're saying and being genuine, but yeah, kind of getting them to be like, yeah, man, this sucks. I quit.
Yep.
Well, and honestly, even though they're like not the person you want, it's also better for them to say they quit a job than got fired from a job. Like,
big time.
Yeah.
On their resume in the future, right.
And you have that, you know what? Hey, I know what you're capable of. I'd be more than happy to let your next person know how fantastic you can be, you know, if they give me a call. So if you can make this end, one, no one wants drama. We, as entrepreneurs, we have drama. So we don't want to create more drama in our life. If we can avoid it, let's do so. Now, they don't always go quite this easy, but especially in the restaurant business, I mean, I probably hired and fired hundreds of people within a couple of years, because waiters and bartenders and hostesses and kitchen people, they come and go. And sometimes they come and then you have to force them to go. So, but I've seen many, many times the best thing is to say this, hey, you know, you're not good at waiting tables. You seem miserable. I know you're not making a ton of money. I can't put you in the best shifts because you're miserable, you know, and you're not enjoying your job. And so that being said, maybe you're better suited back for where you were before at the tanning salon. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do.
Right. So let's get you on with your way, Brandon. I accept that resignation and I totally understand where you're going.
The tanning salon industry just wasn't what I thought it was. Oh, and I just,
your orange tan though, you're losing it. You're losing that orange tan, B. So that's how you want that to go. No, it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes they may be like, no, I'm fine. No, I don't mind it, whatever. And then you have to be like, well, you know what? I notice it. I notice that you're not real happy. And more importantly, I noticed that the fact you're not real happy reflects how you treat our customers, which doesn't fit into our vision whatsoever. And then you can start to ask them questions. I mean, do you really buy into the fact that we're doing this, this, and this, changing healthcare, you know, doing everything we can to exceed every patient's expectations, things like that. And you know, eventually you'll get to where they're really, their truth lies, which is they're not very happy there. Do them a favor and get them out, and you will be amazed whether it screws you on the schedule or not. We see all the time, you get rid of one virus in the office, other people step up, sales step up, and then you'll have so many customers that come to you and say, that girl was miserable. Thank God. Like, I didn't come sometimes because I was dreading. And then you start to realize, holy shit, what business was I losing because I kept this person? And then you dive into the books and you're like, they weren't even posting sales. They weren't even balancing, but you know, so you start to realize like, this is worse than I thought. That's because your gut was telling you it's shitty. And so you're acting on your gut. That's the kind of stuff you'll find out. I've never had someone find out later, you know what? That person was really good. Oh my God. They were so new. Yeah, right. It's never that way. And you'll realize that.
I once tried to quit a job that I loved because my coworker was so miserable, and like, I literally loved the job, but I was like, I can't do this every day with this person who's miserable and hates everything. But ended up staying. But
it's hard to have to go to work with it. I mean, and customers are the same way. Like, I'm not going to go someplace that I get treated like shit for no reason because a person doesn't like their job. Doesn't matter if it's coffee or if it's a chiropractor or a haircut place or whatever. Like, we've all left places because you're like, I don't want to sit and get my haircut, even though she's good, and have her complain on me for a half hour about how bad the sucks and this sucks. So like, I don't want to listen to it. So I want to go somewhere of people that are going to be like, match my energy level of like how amazing life is, how great things are. And if I can find that, then that's fantastic. But
or like a lot of RCAs do, like, I think patients come to our offices, even if they don't need or want an adjustment that day, just because they need a little energy boost and a little positivity. Like, so many of the CAs in our company are just amazing and pour into people. Like, they just give them so much when they come in, you know, not just an adjustment, but just positivity.
So let me ask you guys this. So let's rewind a little bit. So I think those are good strategies is if we know, thank you for rewinding it, Jace. If we know we're going to get rid of someone, so those are good strategies there. What can we back up to when we start to notice, I wish that would have been done a little differently, or I'm noticing they're late all the time. So we sit down for kind of like a review, or not even a formal review, but just like a, hey, here's your kind of come to Jesus talk here. What are some tips or some strategies we can say there to possibly open them up? Because we've had employees like this, Jay. I remember some of our top doctors, and I won't mention their names, way back in the day, were like, I think we were going to fire them. And they ended up turning around being some of our top people. Mm-hmm. They just didn't really know they could let out the potential they had, or didn't know the expectations we had set for them. And then when we told them, they're like, okay, I'm going to get to work. So what strategies, what possible things could we do when we do start to notice this? Let's give them a chance, but sit them down and say, what? How do we start?
Expectations are huge. I think like, this is where you're hitting the mark. This is where you're not hitting the mark. And get their advice on it too.
And their opinion. Did you set those expectations clearly for them?
From day one.
You had to let them know day one. Here's what I'm looking for. Is that you? Yes, it is. Great. Here's what I want out of that position. Here's my expectations daily. Here's what time we show up. Here's all. So if they know that, then you can hold them accountable for it. If they don't know that, you can't blast them for that. And this, again, is all leadership. And this is why, by the way, most people have a shitty relationship with their team, is because they have no idea what the expectations are, right? And they're not clear at all. Now, once you hire them, let's say, okay, great. We agree on expectations. You agree with what I'm looking for. We always set people up on a 90-day period, right? Yeah. So in 90 days, we're going to determine if indeed you are a perfect fit. And by the way, you're going to determine if we're a perfect fit for what you're looking for. It's a mutual, like, feel things out. They don't want to be miserable either every day. So then we go through work and we discuss during that time how that's going. At the end of 90 days, hopefully you sit down and be like, you know what? It's everything we thought and more. You're incredible. You're everything you promised. Let's move you to, you know, a full-time role. Here's your position. Here's your new pay, all of that. To your point, reviews, yes. I'm a big fan of, one, daily reviews. And by daily reviews, I mean, you don't pent up a bunch of stuff for 6 months and then just blast someone and say like, well, 5 months ago, you showed up so pissed. Like, no one likes that. And so every single day, right, we build people up. We put into, we call it the bank account a little bit. And so we build up this bank account by letting them know what they're good at. Great job. Great phone call. You look great today. Thanks for being on time all week. You know, you amaze that customer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. However, there was a couple things I want to discuss. And this is just on a Wednesday night when we're wrapping up. That one phone call with that one patient, what happened, man? Because I didn't sound very good. Like, how could we have handled that a different way? And that's training. It's also letting them know your expectation. It's also letting them know that wasn't acceptable. But you told them what's good and you told them what wasn't so good. So you plug along.
But it's so fresh. Like, it's right in the moment. Right. They're even maybe remembering the call of like, crap, I was supposed to say this. I kind of forgot about it.
Right.
But he realized, oh, my boss heard me, recognized, helped train me, helped bring me up to speed. When it's fresh like that, I don't think it comes across as harsh. It comes across as helpful.
Yep.
Also, I think like a lot of bosses and doctors in our company and in all industries, like, doesn't have to be like a big deal to critique somebody. Like, everybody gets nervous about confrontation. And it's like, it's not confrontation if you handle it in the moment and casually. It doesn't have to be like a serious conversation that you had a bad phone call. Like, just talk about it right then and there, because the longer that you leave it pent up, the more angry you get about it. Then it is have to be like a sit down, like, cause you're so upset about whatever it was.
Yeah. It's feedback. That's how we get better. So a great employee would handle that as like, oh God, I know that was so awkward. Thank you for like, give me some ideas. Like what could I have said to get through that? Because sometimes people are put into a really bad position, right? Maybe that person was calling, complaining about the boss. Maybe they were calling, complaining about the service. Like, so who knows what they're saying? And that takes training for somebody to handle that efficiently and effectively. So your part of letting them know it didn't go real well, it also, your part is to train them and show them, like, here's how I would have handled that, or here's five different ways. Let's role play it and see. That's how you build badass employees, by the way. Now, 6 months down the road, when you have your 6 month and then 12 month and then 18 month reviews, this is a time that you dedicate. It's not just a Wednesday night. It's not you have it real quick on the way home. These are planned out meetings that you dedicate whatever you need, 30 minutes, 45, an hour and a half. And you talk about, and the first question you ask to them is, how do you think things are going? Like, give me your feedback of what's happening. How do you think your job is? How do you think your performance is? All of that. Then you can listen, have a conversation, set goals, let them know what they need to get better at, let them know how they can move up the ladder. You know, but people love feedback. People need to know what they can do to get better. And they never know unless you say that. And to your point, Chelsea, it's spot on. Like, yeah, if you look at everything as negative, you're looking at it the wrong way. It's more just feedback that you can use to get better and do your job better.
In the same breath, you have done a great job with this, Jay. And Chelsea and I do this all the time too, when we had a chance to go to offices and train with new teams. The opposite way of telling them something just badass they did that day too. And I'll almost stop in the moment rather than even waiting until the end of the day and just be like, you just crushed that phone call. Great job. Like, how incredible was that? This is your second day at the office. Awesome job. So not just the negatives, but a blend of the positives too.
Of course. Yeah. You have to, but that's 1 minute manager stuff. You build up the account of positivity so you can also come in negative and it's not just always negive.
Right.
Chelsea, you have something you were going to say? I was interrupting.
I kind of, but then I couldn't like formulate the sentence, so it's fine.
It's all on Zoom.
It'll come back to me.
Change our world right there.
What I was going to say is, I just think like I've had several different types of jobs, and sometimes you have bosses that are like, they feel like they have to take on this whole like asshole mentality so people respect them, and so they're always coming down like everything's negative, but like in a I demand respect way. And then I've had people who like bosses who are like, try to be my best friend. So then anything they say, I'm like, I don't really know if I respect what you're saying.
Right.
So it's kind of like finding a good, I think taking a look at yourself too, and making sure that, I don't know even really how to say it, but you don't have to be an asshole all the time just when you're giving good feedback, but you also need to let your employer know their expectations from day one, so that when you do daily critique them, you know, in the same breath complimenting them, you're helping them, and they understand that, and they realize it is beneficial to them. And I think most employees will realize that if you set the expectations from day one.
Yeah, I mean, the whole flip side of this call would be the side of the employee in this whole thing. because there's absolutely sometimes they're not the one to blame. The leadership sucks. They rant and rave like an asshole. They blame everything on this person. They delegate everything. They take no responsibility. Like, there's so many things I see employees go through that I'm like, I would never work for that girl or guy. Like, I mean, they're miserable. And so this isn't always just an employee thing. This is quite often a leadership thing. And so it's one of the hardest things people can do is lead other people. And so people think it's easy to be the boss and like, oh, that'd be so fun. I make decisions. You know, you're not a leader by signing a paycheck, right? You're a boss and you're an employer, but you're not a leader. And so if you can sign that person's paycheck, but also develop them, give them a career, have them enjoy that, have a good relationship with them. I mean, like, there's so many ways that you can become more than just a boss, but don't think because you signed the paycheck that you're this leader. That person isn't your slave, right? This person, if treated properly, is the biggest asset you will have in your entire company. They're not a liability. And if you treat them as an asset, then they will help you build your company. 100% Chiropractic is proof of that. And so are so many great ones. Fantastic companies are built from the staff that's with them.
Sure. Yep. So it's Maxwell stuff there, levels of leadership.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pick that book up if you need it.
Yeah. That's
So now we've decided we're going to fire Brandon. So what are the steps? How do you do it with class and taste and all that good stuff?
Well, you know, I think that, again, if this is someone that's been with us for a while, you schedule a sit down, you show them the respect. It's a difference of opinions. You kind of schedule some time outside of work and realize this is a tough conversation. If it's their 90-day probationary period and they're someone new and you just realize they're not going to be a fit, it's a quick conversation.
Yep.
Hey, let's just come in. I'm going to meet, you know, let's have a conversation. Then you kind of go through some of the steps we said before. If I'm firing somebody I've been with for 4 years just because we're making a move, you know, I think that person deserves a longer conversation and some explanation and stuff. But don't waver. Like, don't be soft. If you've made this decision, you have to sit down, look that person in the eye, and stick with your guns of just like, well, I respect that, Brandon. I respect that you say that. I respect you as a person, but I've made my decision and I'm right behind that. So we're going to go ahead and continue with it. It'll be hard the first couple of times you do it. But again, is this the best thing for your business? If it is, you, as the owner of that business, have an obligation to make those decisions and then enforce those decisions and carrying them out. That's the only way you're going to have a business worth a shit, is making hard decisions and following through with it. So
I echo that. I would just, I guess, add into, I always did those type of conversations in person, took the time away, made it private. I really felt they obviously deserved at least that amount of respect. And it wasn't a text message or an email or even where other employees or other staff members could hear. So I just tried to keep it private, professional. And then, like you said, just stay strong with it.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Closing thoughts, Chels, what do you think?
Oh, I hate going first. Okay. Think about it.
And what do you think?
My closing thought, if this comes up, I've seen it so many times where there's no actions taken. So if you're sensing this, your gut's telling you this, your employees, your customers are complaining, then make the decision. Quit being so damn scared that you don't want to have this uncomfortable conversation or you're not really sure what to do. Just rip the Band-Aid off. I can't tell you how many times docs were like, you're right. Gosh, you're right. Once we got that person out of there, it made such a difference. So don't waver on the decision. Make it and move on. Just business.
Yeah. Right. I'll go next, and we'll let Chelsea go last so she can have the optimal time to think about something great.
Not that good. I already thought of it.
I would just say, don't keep somebody because of comfort. I think that's the biggest mistake I see. People will fire someone that steals from them or does something stupid. Like, I mean, you know, that doesn't take a podcast to tell you to get rid of somebody that's doing something horrible to you and your family. But people that have a mediocre employee, like a snotty C-minus person, but they've been there for a year and a half. They kind of know their way around. They make your life easier, if we're being honest, just because they do shit you don't want to do. People keep that person way too long. And that's the person that you're going to finally get rid of and hear so much positive feedback from your clients. And you're going to watch a 20% boost in what your office does, just because it allows other employees to unlock and show their talent that was just being suppressed by this miserable person. It allows patients to refer and bring more people in. So just trust your gut. Don't keep someone because it's comfortable or easier for you. It's a shitty decision and you'll have a shitty business. right, yeah, so I think
other than like earlier you were talking about like having the conversation with someone like you're not happy here. Don't let that be the only thing. Also look at the performance too. I mean, if it's in a restaurant, like look at sales of each individual server or bartender. And if they're just not doing their job too, I mean, that's an easier conversation is going off the numbers. So
yep, yeah. Numbers don't lie. Yep. Do numbers lie?
Never.
Numbers don't lie.
It's a
reference. Politicians do though.
Yeah, they do.
Oh God, don't go into what the there fuck part three.
All right, we're wrapping things up. So anyway, make some action steps and make some moves. If this is your year and you're growing, this is a big one because nothing's going to happen until you get the right team in place, and you're not going to get the right team in place until you make the moves that you need to do. So,
fire those bitches.
Fire those bitches and those assholes. Get them out. You're fired. All right, guys, we'll see you next time from the EJ. Peace out.
Happy weekend.